Oh yeah, you are now tuned in
to the J Tuck Show.
Oh my God, that's J Tuck.
J Tuck from CFO Sports.
Hey, J Tuck, I love your show.
Hold up, J Tuck, man, you know J Tuck, they Cowboys, dude.
Oh yeah,
bro, be speaking facts.
J Tuck, J Tuck, J Tuck, CFO, the J Tuck Show.
The J Tuck Show.
The J Tuck Show.
What is up, everybody? You are now tuned into the J Tuck Show, episode number 2. And I'm your host, J Tuck. Make sure y'all go ahead and download this podcast on all podcast platforms. That's iHeartRadio, that's Apple, that's iTunes, that's Spotify. Wherever you're looking for me, you can definitely find me. A lot of y'all love the first episode. Like, yo, Tuck, we need more episodes. Like, y'all know I got you. Now, I said last show, y'all see me everywhere. Y'all see me on the YouTube. Y'all see me on the Instagrams. Y'all see me on the TikToks, Twitter. But y'all want an audio podcast. So if you ask, we shall deliver. So today I ain't going to be by myself, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to have my first guest. And I don't even want to call him a guest, man. He's really a mentor of mine, a brother of mine. Extremely thankful for this guy, one of the best in the business to do it. You know, he's a legend here in Kansas City, barbecue connoisseur. You know, you name it, man, he does it, and he is honorable. So let's give a warm welcome to my dog, Darren Smith. What's going on with you, dog?
You know, hold on. If I need to give you a kind of introduction, I would have had my little roadcast with the applause just ready for it, man.
Applause, the crowd roar, you know what I'm saying? All that, man. Like, you know, so yeah, bro, we'll get there. I got buttons for my other show, but I don't think you want to hear no Cowboys shows. I can hit the.
First of all, it's your show. First of all, it's your show, so you know what I'm saying? So, have to acquiesce, you know what I'm saying, to your format. So even if it had to be that, you know what I'm saying? But otherwise, they could, you know, I could do, you know.
There you go.
Listen,
there you go. Yeah, there you go. Now, we're on audio, y'all. We're on audio. And as I say, go ahead and download the audio podcast. But when Darren just pressed that button, his camera just panned to the right. And he got this Super Bowl trophy just sitting up right there. I think he did that on purpose, man. I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, my dog. But man, how things been going for you, bro?
Things been going good. But first of all, let me say I appreciate the honor of being your first guest of episode 2. I thought it would be episode 1, but who am I to be, you know, choosy about it? But nah, man, all serious, man, it's an honor, man. I know you and I, we both first worked together at Empower Retirement. I want to say 2013, 2014, I think it was. Mm-hmm. It was a long time ago. And, of course, I had been doing my stuff in the sports by that time. 20 years, I think, at that time, mm-hmm. Between radio and newspapers and photography and stuff, and, you know, covering the Chiefs and some of the other teams. And, you know, people knew about me, you know, knew a little bit about me then. And you know, and I think we had met. I just can't remember how we just ended up circling, you know, how mm-hmm. we ended up meeting while we were there. But just the sheer fact, you know, talking with you about, you know, your love of sports and your interests and stuff like that. And I, you know, try to share with little me, you know, say could share with you at the time. And, you know, but I always told you, you know, follow your dream. And I remember, I knew for me, it wasn't going to last long at Empire, because I just didn't really like that type of job.
Right.
And it was like, you know what, I get paid doing my sports stuff. I'm just going to let that ride do what it do. And then from there, I ended up doing some political stuff before coming mm-hmm. back to Kansas City to, you know, focus full stop on the sports stuff before other life things, you know, came about. So, look, man, just glad that, you know, I could play just a little small role. I'm not going to take credit for your growth or anything like that. Just, you know, just glad that I could be around to, you know, give any words of advice or wisdom I could share. Now, I will say, when it comes to new media, old media, you already know how.
I did
have to school you a little bit about that.
But you see, it's starting to blend together. It's starting to blend together. So to my dog Clarence Hill, he on YouTube every day, just like me now.
But hold on, in Clarence's defense, Clarence, you know, Clarence had a, you know, I mean, Clarence had a, had a, what's the word to say? I mean, he had a great backing over the years, you know, being at the Star Telegram. I mean, so it wasn't like he, you know, he was in the media and did media type stuff.
Oh, but yeah, absolutely.
No, I'm saying, but to go from that to where he is now, because again, the old school media had to conform, so to speak, with the new form media, you know what I'm saying, to get that blend, because otherwise, I mean, it was going to be a dying breed. But,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But I've been someone that's been ahead of the curve. I've always been ahead of the curve. So, like, I give this small example. When I was at Lincoln University, first as a student, and then, you know, when I worked for the school after I graduated, I was one of the first people in the country to actually live stream, you know, college sports. And it got to the point where, this, I think jealousy is, but the NCAA, our school was Division II, NCAA, the NCAA had asked me to come to the track and field championships that our team ended up winning, to come up there and to show them how to stream live on the internet. And, but because I was, like, I guess getting too big for my britches, my supervisor, who helped him get his job, hated on me to make sure that I didn't even get to go to the championship to put my stuff on display. So, you know, just like I got him hired, I got him fired too eventually. So that, you know, I just let him know, I'm good at this political game too. So I said that to say that, you know, this is, you know, when you talk about old media, new media, you know, because like I said, I brought you into the old media when I was at 18, you know, saying the radio stuff to kind of show you. And I'm not using that as any type of flex. I'm just saying, you know, how I went, you know, saying to bring you in and let you know, yeah, you know, new media is a way, but let's not forget, you know, how this old media still has its way. And if you're mindful, you see how it can mesh together, and that's how you know, you and I have continued to always do stuff together, because, you know, I mean, you know, both, you know, it's, you know, you got that respect for the old school, but the new school, hey, look, they, you know, making their mark as well, and you just got to respect
Yeah, and it was some of those traits that I picked up being around you, being around Michael Coleman, being around Clarence and so many others. Like, okay, I can take that aspect of a game, like sitting front row at the Super Bowl and be able to ask important questions off the top of your head. Have multiple questions, because, Darren, you know, you'd be sitting in that pit and you got, oh, I want to ask this. I want to ask Pat Mahomes this question. As soon as it's getting ready to come to you, someone's going to toss that question out. So you got to be able to think quick. And it's how to conduct yourself as a professional. So a lot of those things I just picked up from you guys, the old school, and I kind of molded it my way, and here we are, man. So I'm extremely thankful. But let's go ahead and get to it. Speaking of media, speaking of Pat, football season is back there. How are you feeling, man? I know that drought, you know, we did the World Cup stuff here in Kansas City, which I think we did a phenomenal job, but it's just not the same. Now, you know, it was amazing out there in Arrowhead. You know, I went to the Argentina game, and I said, man, these fans is turned up to the max. You know, like, it was turned up to the max, but nothing equals football season. So we finally got football season back. And I feel like your Kansas City Chiefs, Darren, has been kind of just going under the radar. You don't hear a lot of talk about them. You know, I'm hearing talks about, you know, teams in your division, and this is going to be the Herbert year and MVP conversations. And I'm like, hey, Kansas City made some moves. Why nobody focusing on these guys over here? So you cover the team closely, man. What's the thoughts when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs this year as we gear up? And the most important piece, how's Pat doing, and when do you expect him to be back?
All right, well, first and foremost, on the record, I was the first media person to say that Patrick would be back week one. And I said that when they were carrying him. Yeah, I hate to kind of use, you know, carrying his limp body across the tunnel into the locker room when he got injured. So, you know, I knew then, I was saying, because I know the man, I'm like, he's going to be back week one, because I know his motivation, I know his drive, I know his work ethic, that, you know, nothing. I mean, when he dislocated his kneecap, when he dislocated his knee against the Denver Broncos, the first year that they won, well, it's just, I always say they're second. People keep forgetting they won a Super Bowl 50 years earlier, but won their first Super Bowl in the Mahomes era. You know, he had it pop back in place and wanted to come back in the game. It was like, no, you know, they made him sit for a couple of weeks. And so that's just, so even then I knew that no matter what, he was going to be back week one. And so to me, you ask the question, I always say, underestimate this team at your own peril. And so all the talk about Denver and, you know, and obviously Boy Wonder out in Los Angeles with the Chargers. You know, I tell people, you know, if Patrick Mahomes, because people have asked me, if Patrick Mahomes is healthy, the team is going back to the Super Bowl. It just, I mean, because they still have the best coach in the league. And, you know, last year was just, and you know, and look, eventually it was going to happen. The amount of games that they played, and I tell people, Patrick played a full season of postseason games. So while technically this might be, I think what is going into his ninth or 10th year into the season, had an additional year because of the amount of games that he played in the postseason. And so eventually, if your season always ends in mid-February, you know, well, a lot of teams' season ends in January. I mean, that's you know, that's like six additional weeks of work that you're putting in that, you know, that outside of the team that you meet in the Super Bowl, you know, I mean, other teams aren't putting that much, you know, that much time in. And so, you know, and then you look at the offseason, literally as soon as you get through with the Super Bowl, you got 2 weeks before the combines. And then from that, you know, saying you know, you got a few weeks before the draft and all this other stuff. So you'd never really get an off season or a break for your body. And you know, this literally when you were talking about this upcoming season, this is literally, I mean, you talk about, for me, it was like the drought because we had such a long break from the end of the season, which was like January 4th or 12th or whatever it was, to, you know, like now that we got preseason games, you know, that was a long time. Yes, I mean, obviously we had camp and mini camp and OTAs and the draft and stuff like that, but it's just in and out versus all the other stuff, all the other pomp and circumstance that if you're, you know, if you're in Chiefs Kingdom, you know, you're dealing with the parade and, you know, saying and some of the, you know, the ring ceremony, all the other little minutiae that teams like, you know, Cincinnati and the Chargers don't have to worry about.
I see what you did.
So, but eventually over time, the wear and tear, you know, on your body, the rent's going to be due. And so last year was just one of those years where, you know, I say if Travis Kelce doesn't run into Xavier Worthy and the Chiefs win that game, are we even having this conversation? Because the game could turn out differently if you got Xavier Worthy for the entirety of the game, except for three plays, and the Chiefs perhaps win that game in Brazil and then, you know, go on and had, you know, they could have easily probably had another, you know, another run at it, you know, in a long off season again. So, or short off season again. So again, things happen for a reason. And like I said, I know Patrick will be back week one, talk to him after the game in the locker room, the preseason game. And so, you know, I know they're in Tampa. That's the only road game I'm not doing, but you know, that's, you know, this team expects a lot. And look, I know this is your show, but I gotta toss one question back to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you think is the biggest offseason? The one, you only get one answer, one choice. What was the biggest Chiefs acquisition this offseason to you?
That's a good question, because naturally you want to say off the top of your mind.
You only get one.
All right. Well, I'm a draft guy, so I'm going to go with Mansur Delane out of LSU.
Okay. Well, you'd be wrong, but okay.
I'm going with man. I think you guys got a really good corner, and I think that's going to help shore up your secondary, because you only gave me one, so I'm gonna go with that. I think I know where you're gonna lean towards, you know, offensively, but I'm gonna go with Mansur Delane. I think this kid's gonna be one of the top five cornerbacks in the NFL probably up the next 1 to 2 years. So. Okay. I think
that's good. Eventually, you know, once he finally gets out there, get some PT. Hopefully get some reps in the preseason as we get closer to the regular season. I hope that's the case. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, look, again, I was the first on this, and then everybody likes to piggyback.
Yeah, I know where you're going. I'll let you have your flowers. Go ahead.
It's Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy is the biggest acquisition. I mean, look, you talk about the running game and Kenneth Walker. And Kenneth Walker is a great addition, but he's not the biggest addition. The biggest addition is the fact that you get Eric Bieniemy back, because now – it goes to show what you've been missing over the last three seasons. Now, yes, the Chiefs have been probably the most accomplished team, I'd say, between them and Philly. And Patrick has been the most accomplished quarterback between he and I. And I'm going to give Jalen Hurts his flower. I don't know why people want to sleep on him, but it is what it is. You know, he's a Super Bowl winning MVP, and he did it against the Chiefs. So, you know, I can't knock the man for his hustle. You know, I mean, Chiefs beat him, and he beat the Chiefs. So, you know, that's just how it is. And so, you know, with Bienemy, he brings a certain aura and presence that was sorely missing the last, you know, like they had essentially the same team that they ran it back with against San Francisco. However, it was more of a defensive-led team than it was an offensive-led team. And then, of course, the following year that they lost the Super Bowl against the Eagles, you know, they had too many one-score games. And they just happened to fall on the luckier side of the coin than they did last year when they had those one-score losses. But the thing is, Bienemy never allowed things to slip below the cracks. Like, when they had Juwan Taylor, that was after Bienemy left. All those offsides and false starts, that would not have happened under Bienemy. And so just little things like that to where the accountability is true, but the fact that he holds everyone from Patrick to number 53, nobody can escape the wrath. But the thing is, his accountability is something to where he's pushing you, and people hate because I use this analogy of remember the Titans. He wants to be perfect in every sense of the word, because what you do in practice is what you're going to do in the game. And so it's like, you know, things, I mean, people talk about what he does, you know, and it's funny because for all the times that people wanted to, you know, undermine Eric Bieniemy, especially when he was here and when he was gone, and I would always be like, who are you going to blame now? Because Eric Bieniemy isn't here. And they'd be like, right. he wasn't this. But now that he's back, and everybody's like, I'm so glad he's back. So now you're glad he's back.
Yeah. Don't know what you got till it's gone. You know? Yeah, exactly. Because I remember, I see them posts.
Yeah, so the thing is, look, hey, I make sure people remember because I was there, and I, you know, people want to fall back to 2021 AFC Championship game of, you know, when they lost to the Cincinnati Bengals because you yelled at Patrick. Patrick, a grown man. Patrick did the wrong thing before the half, and EB jumped on him like he should have, you know, and Patrick Mahomes, you know, saying allow that to mess with his head in the second half. That's on Patrick. That ain't on Eric. I'm like, people call me his biggest friend. I don't care. I wear that badge proudly because he did nothing wrong. I mean, he did his job. He's supposed to be, he brings the best out. And the fact that the players know this, you know, and Kelsey, to his credit, said that he brings the accountability that they didn't have the last few years. And he said that they didn't just go for the offense. So it wasn't like he was trying to throw Nagy on the bus like I would or like I have. Is that the players themselves didn't hold themselves accountable, you know, because sometimes you get so much success, you know, you just kind of, I mean, it happens. You get, you know, you get lazy and things happen. But now because of how your season ended and you bring it back, that's in the mission. Whatever happened the last few years wasn't working.
Exactly. And you know, I'm excited to see Eric Bieniemy back. And you guys got some offensive pieces, like you mentioned, Kenneth Walker, you know, you got Rashee Rice, or whatever it takes. You know, so you got some talent out there for Eric B to really cook with. So we'll see if that dominant Chiefs offense that they kind of been known for in the past years is going to come back, because we know what the defense was as well as under Spags. Yeah. So, you know, you got Peter Woods, you got Chris Jones and those guys. So I think the Chiefs, I don't understand why people aren't talking about them, but, you know.
Well, one thing I will add, I mean, this is going to be a make or break year for players such as Chris Jones and George Karlaftis, because, you know, you can't, and look, again, see, I have a long memory. See, like, people like to throw the fact, well, you want to do Deshaun Watson. I said, well, I saw Patrick in college, but I saw Deshaun Watson, too. I saw what Watson did in the last game of the year, the last two seasons. If Deshaun Watson is in Kansas City, we're not dealing with Alex Smith his last season here, like we had to, you know, like we had to deal with Mahomes. I mean, now, I don't know if they went through Super Bowls, but I do believe they went a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson. And look, you know, how time played out, yeah, the Chiefs did a great job. I have no problem saying, okay, if you want to go that route, I was wrong in that assessment. But, hell, I said that to Patrick, and I said it to his daddy. I mean, I'm not somebody that, you know, will make a take and run from it. That's just what I believed in at that time. At this time right now, yeah, Patrick was a better decision for the team to make. But to your point, I said that about Chris Jones and them because – last offseason during training camp, Chris Jones made the comment to George, you know, you got your money, so you get 10 sacks or whatever, get more than 10 sacks. Well, last year they both had 6.5 sacks, injuries, team loss, whatever. So now they both need to come back and have a better season if this defense can, you know, saying we'll be able to match up with the offense. Now, again, it is twofold. The offense needs to make sure, which they will because Bienemy's back, that they run the ball more effectively and have more of a balanced offense. That way you're saving the defense from themselves by keeping them off the field, you know what I'm saying, as long as you can, you know what I'm saying, with long scoring drives and some of the play selection to where you don't go three and out, you throw their defense right back out there, and then, you know, team walks 80 yards down the field to score, and now you put more pressure on them and the offense. So, then I mean, obviously, they both go ahead, and that's for really any team. But as it relates to the Chiefs, have not been clock dominated, you know, as they have been since the enemy had left.
Yeah. Now, when you think about the AFC West there, you know, it's kind of like the quarterbacks now. Of course, we saw what Bo Nix did with Denver. You know, he said the golden boy. I call him QB Jesus because that's the way they treat him. Like he walks on water when it comes to Justin Herbert. But then now your foes in the Raiders, they got a young one in Fernando Mendoza. So if you had to probably look at some of the other quarterbacks in your vision, which one would you say is, all right, we got to keep our eye on him in the future? So what quarterback would you say in your division that you have to keep your eye on? Like, okay, they're going to be one of those ones here in the future as far as the younger quarterbacks, the Bo Nix. I guess you can call Justin Herbert a younger quarterback, and then also Fernando Mendoza for what you saw thus far.
I would still go with Bo Nix because of Sean Payton. You know, okay. Sean Payton is and Payton was the one coach who the Chiefs knew if they didn't trade up above there that he was going to take Patrick Mahomes. So they knew just by a conversation, whatever, that was a person that they had to get out in front of because he wanted Mahomes in New Orleans. I mean, and to bonus credit, it's more like he had the greatest of talent, but he had a hell of a defense last year. And so, and I believe that defense will still be good. But you acquire Jalen Waddle from Miami, and you put somebody on the other side of Corliss Sutton. So you give Sean Payton that type of offense, potentially, with their running back. They, you know, and their offensive line was pretty good as well. I mean, that's a quarterback under Sean Payton that could grow, that could become a problem. Herbert, I mean, look. I'm not taking nothing away from him. He's a good quarterback. I just don't think he's the savior that everybody thinks he is. And I know, you know, Jim Harbaugh is more of a run-based coach. So I can, you know, now granted, you bring in, you know, the Miami head coach as an offensive coordinator, perhaps he can do some things, but I have to see it. But again, he had the talent in Miami and couldn't get it done still. So, you know, and we'll see how those collective minds work, because you got a coach that likes to run the ball versus a coach, you know, that kind of likes to kind of throw the ball. So we'll see how that works out for them.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. You know, but they do got my guy, Namari Hampton. So, you know, I think that he should be, you know, booming in year two. Now, let's get over to the other division. And sometimes it's always interesting for me because, you know, the team that I cover is the Dallas Cowboys, of course. But I want to get your outside perspective on the NFC East. But we want to talk about the Cowboys specifically. With the things that we've done, bringing in Christian Parker, you know, drafting Caleb Downs, like, what is your thoughts on the Cowboys, Darren? Go ahead, be honest. I know you are. Go ahead, be honest.
No. I love the move that they made in drafting Caleb Downs. Like, to me, outside of Carnell Tate, that was like one of the, to me, that was, you know, was, you know, I would have loved for the Chiefs to have gotten one of those, especially Carnell Tate. I love that move defensively for the Cowboys because to me, kind of like the Chiefs were, that was kind of the biggest upgrades to me that they needed to make, especially in loss of Michael Parsons last year. And to be honest, you know, Parsons was cool for individual stat wise, but I don't think he really made that type of improvement outside of his rookie year on the defensive side of ball stat, you know, as for the overall defensive stats for the team. Offensively, you know, I mean, it relies. I mean, I can't even remember who your running back is. I mean, I know Turpentine and someone else, but
Javonte yeah. Williams got from Denver.
Yeah, and so, but really, it comes. You know, the offense comes down at the end of the day. Left tackle, you know, your quarterback Dak Prescott, and your two wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. I mean, that to me is going to be, you know, how the team goes is how that offense goes. And again, if they get good to great quarterback play from Dak, sky's the limit for the Cowboys. The thing is, it always seems like teams, whether you fall to, and I don't want to say the owners, because owners got nothing to do with what happens on the field. Granted, they have a lot to say with how the team is fielded. But at the end of the day, you got your 53-man roster, and you expect your coach to go out there and try to out-coach somebody. To me, it just seems like when the chips, you know, when the lights get brightest, somehow, some way, they always seem to wet the bed. And I don't know, because Dak has played big games. I mean, and you know, during the season, and he's had great showings. It just seems like sometimes, you know, when it comes to playoff time, it, you know, and I don't know if it's coaching, the play calling, whatever. It's just like for some reason, change from the regular season to the postseason, where people feel like they put this undue burden on them, undue burden and pressure. Like, we got to get it done. We don't get Super Bowl. Look, just play the game. Mm-hmm. You can only play the game. It's a game of inches. And just if you just do it, just play. If you execute on your end, you just let the football guys, you know what I'm saying, just play itself out. And that's that to me, you know, is something that the Cowboys just have not done. But they have the talent, man. I just, you know, you just got to put all together when you know,
when it matters most. For it. Yeah, and I think it's a combination of coaching and also culture, Darren. Because like you're saying, I feel like every time we get to the playoffs, what's the number one? Is this the year? This the year they're going? I was like, bro, it's just the wild card game. Like, just focus on the next week.
Yeah, focus on the teams ahead of you.
Yeah, focus on the next game. If you go back to that game versus Green Bay, you know, Mike McCarthy, he was like, I was uptight. You know, so it's like, so you're making it bigger than what it really needs to be. We were already rolling. We beat Detroit at home. Like, we had some good. Just focus on your next opponent. And I think the Dallas Cowboys, you know, get caught up in the glitz and the glamour and the lights, and they get tense. And or sometimes I feel like when it came to Green Bay specifically, they underestimated them, because the Dallas Cowboys were rolling at home, and you know, they had home field advantage, and it was just kind of a younger Green Bay team. So I just think you got to have someone, and hopefully I think that Brian Schottenheimer and also Christian Parker will be the coaching staff that can keep them focused. You know, as you mentioned, like Eric Bieniemy, you need coaches to keep you in line sometimes. Don't get too high, don't get too low, just even keel. Because, you know, you guys went through it in Kansas City, you know, making that first Super Bowl run. Yeah, there was pressure, but you still just had to focus on the next opponent. And ultimately, you'll look back, and then now you're at the big game. So I think, me personally, I like what the Dallas Cowboys have done. I'm excited about Christian Parker. We signed Quinnen Williams. We brought in some outside guys, whether that's Jalen Thompson, P.J. Locke, Kobe Durant as well, the draft picks that you mentioned, and Caleb Downs. But we also got Malachi Lawrence in the first round, along with Jayshon Barham. It's not, Darren, revamping last year's defense. We rebuild it. We rebuild it to the model that Christian Parker wants to do, when it's going to be more of a 3-4 base. And that, for me, like you were saying, if the offense is just the offense, like, just be who you was last year, and if the defense can just hold teams to 23 points, I think the Dallas Cowboys will be right there in the thick of things.
I know it's 24 is a lot of points. I mean, I would prefer 17 or lower. But
well, know. Last year was 32, Darren. That was right.
I don't know. But let me say this. I mean, you know, because funny, while you were talking, you talking about the culture. Culture hadn't been the same since, and it's funny how things turned, because you made a post this week that you just didn't expect for Jimmy Johnson, and again, I look at when they won those two Super Bowls with him, and then the third one the year after, the same way, literally with the Chiefs, because you know, Bienemy was the OC of those two Super Bowls, and then you still had the same players and the same talent the following year, but you had Matt Nagy there, and so it's kind of like the Cowboys when they won the Super Bowl. Now, granted, the big difference was after they won those first two Super Bowls, they went back to the NFC Championship game and got beat because of Deion on the other side. But then they brought in Deion. And that was, of course, Barry Switzer's second year, but you still had the talent. Now, Deion was a big difference maker, but I say that to say that, you know, the culture was still kind of set by those players, you know, that Jimmy was there for, you know, after that third Super Bowl win, and then it just, you know, kind of tapered off as injuries and retirement and stuff, you know, reared his head. And I look at it to where we look at the enemy again, you know, teams like the Cowboys over these last 3 years, outside of Parcells, you didn't really have a coach or OC or somebody that, to me, the players respected, and not only respected but feared. And that, and, you know, and Jimmy Johnson coached through fear, but he got the best of it because, again, he was a perfectionist. I mean, you know, anybody that was around, you know, I was, you know, younger, but as a kid in high school, but following the team, even from afar, you knew he was a perfectionist. Like, you fall asleep in a team meeting and you getting cut if you're in one of them. So, you know, to me, what I see is, and I don't know if it's this generation or whatever, it's just a lack of discipline where it feels like people feel like you can't tell them nothing because we grown this and that. But, you know, discipline is what is, because, again, that's, you know, and accountability, it falls back to that. Who, when it was under Mike McCarthy or to an extent, shout out, especially when it came to Mike Parker, like, who's holding these players accountable? Now, granted, you can say they make a lot of money, but trust me, these players in Kansas City make just as much money, if not more, and they are held accountable because, again, they want to – a lot of players say and act like they want to be coached, but they don't want to be coached hard, and they don't want to make, to me, the sacrifice that it's going to take to get to where you want to get, you know, and so – you know, when the Chiefs lost to the Patriots or whatever, they knew that they were right there at the cusp, and they had that, you know, they had that taste in their mouth, and they didn't like that taste. And of course, you know, they won the next year, and didn't stop until, you know, they had the overtime loss to Cincinnati. They didn't like that feeling either, and then ran it back the next 3 years. So it's just one of those things where, you know, you to me, players and teams have to look at themselves, and the biggest thing is pride. You know, I mean, a lot of these teams and players and organizations, coaches, they're just too prideful. And that pride is what keeps them from being successful.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I think the difference, you go back, you know, because you know, if anyone knows about Schottenheimer, it was you, his dad, you know, Marty, and we got Brian Schottenheimer. The difference is when it comes to Kansas City, I try to explain this. Andy, it stops with Andy. It starts and stops with Andy. Like, that's it. You can't go above the room. So it's hard for Dallas Cowboys players, going back to the Mike McCarthy era, to really buy into Mike when Jerry is overstepping. Like, there was a situation with Ezekiel Elliott and Rico Dowdle. Well, Mike McCarthy wanted Rico to be the starter. Jerry Jones wanted Zeke to be the starter. Who was the starter, Darren? It was Zeke. You know, so it's like some of those things where, hey, if it doesn't work through the head coach, I can go to the owner. He steps in and overrules. So I will give Jerry Jones credit this far. And this is why I kind of hate that Jimmy Johnson post, because don't wake the monster. He has been very quiet and out the way thus far, Darren. So I hopefully that this year.
But here's the thing, though. Season ain't started.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, thus far. And honestly, I think last year was a learning lesson, because that whole Micah Parsons thing, me personally, I still don't understand letting go from him. But it wasn't about football, Darren. It was more just about ego. And when Micah Parsons stood at that podium out there at camp and went back and forth with Jerry, that's when Jerry leaned up in his chair and all the pettiness started. So last year, in Brian Schottenheimer's first season, there was just a lot of dark clouds, a lot of drama. You know, Jerry had the Netflix series going on and this and that and scandals and the Micah trade. I think this year, Brian Schottenheimer was due to have just a clean offseason, no drama. And the biggest drama I thought was going to happen was George Pickens in the tag. By a miracle, he decided to come back and play on the franchise tag, and he's been the camp MVP. So I think that things have been naturally improved. Like you're saying, Darren, we ain't seen week one. You know, so let's see. We can keep Jerry Jones just being an owner and let the coaches and the people who handle the football things handle football things. But that's always a show in Dallas.
One little pushback and that I would say, and this is from afar, but also just by reading the tea leaves, the issue really with Jerry and Micah came from the fact that Jerry didn't want to deal with his agent. I mean, because, you know, because his agent and what he, he's not the same agent that obviously that Dak had, when he got inside his contract, but the sheer fact that, you know, David Mogulata, you know, so I mean, he obviously had Deshaun Watson get the biggest guaranteed deal. And so the fact that you got a guy that is known for making sure his players get paid or whatever, Jerry wants to be bigger than the brand, bigger than the CBA and stuff, where no, I'm not going to deal with, you know, I'm not going to deal with the agent. I'm going to deal with the player, because again, in his mind, the player doesn't know as much and players consider him daddy. And so, you know, so he makes like, you know, I'm not going to shortchange you, but it's like, yeah, but this ain't the way things go. So
yeah, exactly.
So in Jerry's mind, it's cool for him to bend and break the rules, but not the player. This reports that Jerry's trying to find out the players involved so he can fine them for the $500,000 fine that the team has to pay, so he can end up, you know, making the money back off the players. Mm-hmm. So it's just little things like that, you know.
Right.
When it comes to Jerry, you know, we got to kind of tell the full story and the full context behind a lot of stuff that he does.
Absolutely. And a lot of fans didn't understand that, right? Because the whole thing Jerry was holding on to was like, no, me and Micah talked about it and we had a deal. And it was just like, bro, you cannot negotiate directly with the player. Because my question
a conversation is not a deal.
Yeah. Like if we had a conversation, like, oh yeah, man, like I want to kind of do this. Like, and I say, yeah, Darren, send it to my agent. You can't be like, well, no, I just want to deal with you. Like, absolutely not. Because my question I'm going to ask people is, okay, we just signed Quinnen Williams. Okay. Who did Jerry and Stephen Jones negotiate with? They did it with Nicole Lynn. Why didn't you corner Quinnen Williams in a room to try to get this deal done? So, you know what you're doing. You were being sneaky. And it's the same situation, because guess who George Pickens' agent is? It's Dave Mulugeta. And they say, you know what? We're not having any conversations. There's no negotiation. So it's
which is why they went with the franchise tag. And when next year, they're going to hit Pickens with the franchise tag again.
Again. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, you can franchise tag him again, because I think they will.
He could be franchise tag a third time,
because they're not going to let George Pickens hit the market openly. So they will tag and trade him, or they could just tag him and keep him. So we'll just sit back and wait and see. So like, but those are some of the things that, like you're mentioning, Darren, I think takes away from the production on the field, because you got to deal with all this stuff behind the scenes when it comes to Dallas Cowboys. Now, if you're looking at the NFC East, who do you think will probably be your favorite? You know, you got the Eagles, but they move on from A.J. Brown, drafted Mekhi Lemon, new offensive coordinator again for Jalen Hurts. Offensive line getting a little bit older, but they have that Vic Fangio defense, and you have the Dallas Cowboys that we just spoke about. The Commanders should be revamped a little bit. Jaden Daniels fully healthy, and then you got Harbaugh now out there in New York with Jaxson Dart, Cam Scadabo, and possibly Malik Nabers for return week one. If you had to gauge the NFC East, what's your thoughts there?
I hadn't done any predictions yet, but I would still say it is the Eagles division to lose, and then the Cowboys. I'd say Washington after that, and then the Giants. I took a step back on Jaden then, not just because of the injury. I mean, you know, I got a chance to see him and meet his mom and talk to his mom during Radio Row, but I didn't. But
this past Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Y'all see me. You ain't giving some, you know, text, no nothing. You're like, hey.
You were set up. I'm shocked you didn't see him, because he might have been on Clarence and them show, and I know you had a table.
It'd be so much going in there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. But no, I'm saying, but I spoke to his mom just for about 5-10 minutes. I mean, wasn't nothing deep or anything. I didn't try to ask for an interview with him, but but the whole LSU stuff, you know, with the news, granted, it's got nothing to do with Washington football, but it seemed like unnecessary noise and just like, you know, bringing attention to yourself that just didn't need to be. Like, bro, it's a jersey, man. It's a number. Right. I mean, it might mean something, but bro, it ain't that deep, man. Like, you know, you wore somebody else's number that probably had a better.
That's what I'm saying. And you didn't win a national championship there, bro. Like, you won the Heisman.
It's a little thing like that make me think you're not focusing. And then plus, I don't know, you know, you still got to show me bouncing back from that injury that you got, you know, that you can, that you're going to be there to do. Patrick has bounced back from some injuries. Now, granted, not as major as what he just had, but, you know, but I know the man and I've seen what he's done. He's taken every snap he needed to take in training camp to get to where he's at. So I have no doubt about him. But, you know, but Jaden doesn't have the type of currency to where you can just believe, you know, he can come back and lead that team. So, you know, so for me, you know, that's why I rank. I still think because they still got that championship pedigree and they got championship players in Philly, I give them the edge over the Cowboys, you know, because, again, like you said, your defense gave up 32 points a game. So you got to show me that you can stop somebody, you know, saying stop a dead cold body. So until, right. You know, but I know what you can do offensively. And look, and I'm not going to lie, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if George Pickens is playing a long game and like, okay, I'm going to wait till the first season. Next thing I know, I get out there and I hurt my back and I'm good the rest of the season because you got to pay me anyway. And so you're either going to let me hit the market or you're going to tag me again. We're going to go through this next year and I'm going to make, you know, $65 million in two seasons by, you know, and take one snap, you know.
Oh, that would hurt Cowboys fans' heart, bro. Because the way that he's been on a tear right now, if he got to the season and be like, you know what, I'm gonna turn it down. I'm gonna gear it down.
Well, that's me being petty, but I'd be
super petty. I'm gonna edit this part out, bro. We ain't trying to hear all that, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. Now, Darren, of course, we're happy for football season. You cover the sport. We both cover the sports. You know, college football is 7 days. 8 days away, but for me, and I'm sure you're like me, a betting man. You know, I've been in the lab a little bit this preseason, man. So I've been kind of putting in some work, and I know you probably been putting in some work, especially since Missouri is now a legal state. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to the big leagues, brother. But I'm gonna put you on the spot because as of right now, I'm seeing this Kansas City Chiefs over and under at 10.5 wins. Would you take that bet to go for the over for the Kansas City Chiefs at 10.5?
I'm pretty sure I made that bet on FanDuel, so I think I got them over 10.5. So yeah,
okay.
I got a nice little parlay. I've got them over 10.5.
Okay,
I might have 11.5, but I think it's 10.5.
Yeah, 10.5. I think they're 10.5, so at -140. So I think that should be an easy lock. You can't always say easy lock, but I like that play. I like that.
If Mahomes is healthy, it's a no-brainer.
But yeah, if he's healthy, of course, we're not going to see him until week one because they're not going to let him play any preseason games. But if he's healthy, yeah, I think that's an easy money for the Kansas City Chiefs. Another one that I'm kind of eyeing, Darren, Caleb Williams over 4,000 passing yards. He was like at 3,900 last year, you know, second year under Ben Johnson, wide receiver units, you know, out there with our guy and Luther Burton. I think he hits that over. What's your thoughts on Caleb Williams over 4,000 passing yards?
I like that. All that's going to be what his turnover looks like, if his turnover is higher or not, but that is a bet that I wouldn't mind taking. And I think I read some article or some reports that he and Ben Johnson that they can have the number one offense this this season. Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of hard for me to believe that in Chicago with the cold weather,
right?
You get closer to, but you know, he is someone that's going to take the chance and is going to sling the rock. So if he can have good protection, he's still got Joe Tooney up there. I think they got a battle going on in left tackle, but if he can be protected and he limits his turnovers to, and I'm not going to say single digits because it's hard to do that, but if you have probably no more than 10 to 12 interceptions, I think I think
4,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. So I like the Chiefs 10.5, parlay that with Caleb Williams 4,000. Mm-hmm. And then trying to think of another one because Dak, I found Dak, it was at 27 passing touchdowns, bro. And I tried to lock it. And when I tried to lock it, it glitched. I think I found a glitch on FanDuel. And they kicked me out. It's like, I was like no, like hell no. I tried to kill him, Darren. That's like,
what was the glitch on it?
It just said the line was no longer available and it removed. So I don't know. I think they just had his line set too low or something. I think they were adjusting lines one day. I was like, yeah, Dak at 27 passing touchdown. I'm like, bro, he could probably get that by Halloween. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's funny because I do got a couple of I know my homegirl who has a Dove Club. She has some and actually it's funny you said it because I got my phone right here, so actually I can tell you one of the parlays that we've got. Now,
okay, hopefully, go ahead. Let's see what we got, man.
Hopefully she doesn't kill me. Okay. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to pull it up because it was a wide receiver. Oh, here we go. Because I have to put it together. This is the NFL wide receiver season receiving record. Okay. So this is a six legs plus 57.58. So $10 gets you $575.
Okay.
She's got Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Nico Collins, 1,250 regular season receiving yards. Those three each, 1,250 each. Okay. Zay Flowers, George Pickens, 1,000 regular receiving yards. Travis Kelce, 750 regular season receiving yards.
I like that.
I know you do.
Yeah, I like, yeah, you know, send me that link, you know what I'm saying? Send me that link. I put some beans on that one. I like that with George Pickens, because George Pickens, we had 1,400 last year.
Well, I know that, which is, you know, and because she was like, well, CeeDee Lamb, I said, well, CeeDee Lamb barely had over 1,000, but I can't remember if he was, I think he was injured.
Yeah, he missed games last year.
Yeah, and so, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm like, and again, to me, if they're both healthy, they're obviously both going to be 1,000-yard receivers like they were last year, but how much more? Now, mm-hmm. My only question, if there were to be one, would have been Nico Collins, and I can't remember. Because I know they just had a player that just got injured this week in training camp. I don't know.
Yeah.
As long as it wasn't Collins, I don't think.
No, it was Jaden Higgins.
Higgins, yeah. Obviously, Jamar Chase, you know, I mean, between he and Higgins and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, even though you've got my guy from Alabama on the other end. I mean, yeah, so these are receivers who have – and the thing is with Kelce, I feel like – I mean, even last year, Kelce had almost 900 yards, and, mm-hmm. you know, and he can get 750 because if he's healthy, Mahomes is going to get him the football. Right. So that's like – it's going to happen. So to me – these were just locks. I mean, we were going through, you know, but you know me, hell, I'd have been trying to do 25 legs.
I'm still starting to build, man. You can probably put some running backs in there. You know what I'm saying?
I'll send you this link because I actually haven't placed it yet. I just hadn't. There's like, you know, I mean, you talk about this wind and stuff, you know, I probably did a 13 leg or whatever for the.
Yeah. See, Darren, we going to get Darren to find the value of straight bets. You know what I'm saying? We going to stack those small ones, but Darren, we crack it over the fence.
Okay. But hold on. No. I got another six leg parlay for running backs that you probably didn't hear. These are just for regular season touchdowns.
Okay.
I've got Derrick Henry over 13.5.
Okay.
I mean, nah. You say yeah, and if you think that's attainable. I mean,
that should be
goal line. You know, you're going.
Yeah, goal lines. Yeah, I say Derrick Henry 13.
You know, Jahmyr Gibbs 11.5.
Okay.
McCaffrey 8.5.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey touchdowns is golden. So 8.
DeAndre Swift in Chicago over 5.5.
Yes.
Chase Brown. Regular season over 5.5 for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
Kenneth Walker over 7.5 for the Chiefs.
Yeah, easily. All those goal line carries he gonna get.
$10 gets you $598.91.
There you go. So we get y'all two parlays, man, courtesy of the honorable Darren Smith, man. Just like that.
Two parlays that you want me to send you.
Send me. I'm gonna add a couple little sprinkles in there. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, if I'm doing futures, man, I gotta go for the big gusto. I gotta get like the 200,000, 300,000. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you there.
I gotta go for it. But last question before I let you go, Darren, man, I appreciate you. Switch over to the NBA. I know you've been extremely vocal about this player in the past. LeBron of Philly. What's your thoughts, bro? How are you feeling about this LeBron final run in Philadelphia as he became a Philadelphia 76er?
I mean, for me, I like it. I mean, I don't care because I'm not invested in LeBron like I probably was in Jordan. But, I mean, I love watching him play. I love, love, love the man. I love what he stands for. I just don't think he's better than Michael Jordan. That being the case, it's going to be good TV viewing. You know, I mean, depending on if the Chiefs are, you know, playing or whatever, and I'm covering the team, I'm going to watch. The other thing is, I don't know if I can bet on those games because I don't, you know, because that's gonna be hard because you got five players, if healthy, any right. one of them could take a stab at it. Where it's like, man, I don't need y'all messing my parlay stuffs up. Right. So, you know, and yes, for me, a lot of times I base stuff on fact stuff, but then I also base stuff on my money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, no, seriously, you know, if I see Shea averaging 30, 31 points a game, I put him for 20, he ended up with 19, I'm going to be pissed. Like, bro, what are we doing?
What's going
you know,
on?
When you on average, you should at least get a middle of 25. I put you for 20 to be safe. You get ended up with 19, I got a problem. So, yeah, so, but no, I mean, I think it's going to be good appointment viewing for basketball fans. And look, and I actually do enjoy the free agency where, you know, to me, and I like this with football too, I like to see where players end up because to me, at the end of the day, it always becomes like a chess match. Okay, if this player is here, where does the power lean? You know, does it lean in this direction, that direction? Will it be with this team? You know, does it hurt one team to help another? Obviously, him going to Philly instead of Miami or even Cleveland, you know what I'm saying, balance of power shifts and to where now it's like, okay, Philly and New York, you know, I mean, what are we going to look like? And so, yeah, that's what I like.
I'm not too opposed to it. I mean, I get it's the final run. You know, where was he going to go? So, you know, it's always going to be an interesting conversation. I personally do like LeBron. I just hate the Jordan comparisons. If you just let him just be his own man and be covered by his own individual basis, I have no problems with LeBron. But these LeBron fans there, you know how they get. It's just like
he's not the same. I mean, compare him against Magic Johnson. Like, bro, they 6'9", you know, he's a 6'9" point guard that just happens to play power four because all the other teams that he was started out on, he was always the point guard. So right. It's like, you know, but it is what it is. I mean,
it'd be interesting because, you know, I'm an MB guy. So, you know, I like to see MB win a little bit. So, but the hard part.
I will say this, though. What I'm hoping with him being there that, you know, it forces MB to get in shape because MB can't be playing 42 games. I mean, he's right. got the MB's, and you know, obviously when he won his regular season, he's got to be healthy for 65 and not just where it looked like he's lumbering up and down the court, man. You can't have because that's gonna kill their chances in trying to win and trying to win, which you don't want to have see.
Right. They need to have MB for the late run. So, yeah. Well, yeah. Man, my dog, Darren, man, I appreciate you for coming on. Like I said, first guest on the show. We won't be your last visit, of course. Y'all don't hear Darren a lot on the show. So for all the people hearing this for the first time, they say, you know what? Where can I find that Darren Smith guy? Where can they find you, my guy?
You can find me on social media at Darren Smith NFL. And I think that's on IG, YouTube, and Twitter. On X, I believe it's Darren Smith 816. So, I'm not hard to find.
Not hard to find at all, man. Y'all gonna see him, especially if you love Chiefs coverage, you're gonna see him there, right? You're gonna hear him in the media room asking those tough questions. And every time I hear you guys, I hear you, and then when I'm listening to the Cowboys camp, I hear Michael Coleman. Oh, they're my dogs. You know what I'm saying? They're my dogs out there, you know, keeping the people informed. And for y'all hearing me for the first time, you can follow me on all social media platforms at JTuck151. Really simple, YouTube channel, CFO Sports. Download the JTuck Show audio podcast on all podcast platforms. Episode 2. But we got a lot coming as we gear up for college football, NFL football, NBA, even hockey. Y'all know I love to bet on hockey. That's my ace. I cannot wait till the hockey gets back. And also movie talk, Darren. I've been seeing a lot of incredible movies. Saw a bad one last night. Into Oak Street. Don't go see that. Don't.
What about Mutiny?
I haven't seen Mutiny.
With Jason Statham. Oh, it just came out. It just came out Friday night, but okay. I download. I'm going to watch it on my
okay, iPad. So I've seen, The Odyssey, go see. Yeah. Spider-Man, Brand New Day, go see. I like Evil Dead Burn, go see that. Didn't like Masters of the Universe, Scream, the scary movie.
Oak Street was bad?
It was horrible, bro.
Wow. Okay.
It was that movie could have probably just been on Amazon Prime.
Age of Disclosure was bad too.
Which one?
Disclosure Day or Age of Disclosure?
Disclosure Day was bad too.
Yeah.
Project Hail Mary was good.
Okay.
Project Hail Mary was really good. But yeah, man, Disclosure Day. I mean, End of Oak Street is probably the worst movie I've seen thus far.
Wow.
It didn't make sense. It's just I mean, of course you've seen Dinosaurs, but besides that, there's nothing really to it. So I was like, yeah. I give myself pride for staying awake. So I was almost about to just dip out. You know, my wife was like, no, don't fall asleep in the movie. So y'all can go ahead and watch that one on the Fire Stick. And we also got some box tonight that we'll definitely be watching. But until next time, I'm your host, Jay Tuck, and you're now tuning to the Jay Tuck Show. Peace.
Peace.